Welcome to the Sunday School this morning. Shall we please rise on our feet? Let's bow our heads for an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of mercy again this morning, just as you have asked us to come. And your word has promised that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you'll be in their midst. Because we know you are a God that keep your appointments, that keep your word, we know you are here this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, may you look past our mistakes, may you look past our faults, may you see us through that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. May you come down and speak to us as your children today, that by the time this Sunday school comes to an end, we all will have something that we've heard from you. Grant it, Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you remain standing, let's open to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 19. Matthew, chapter 19. We'll read verse 8 and verse 9. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery." May the Lord bless his word. You can please have your seat. This morning, I want to just pick up from where we stopped last Sunday. Still talking about the courtship. And I want to stay this morning. And this subject we are going through, I'm going to be touching on some areas. I want you to just follow me as we go. This morning, I want to speak of courtship should be based on love, not just a duty to perform. I'm not going to go back to last Sunday, because if I keep going back, I won't move. So I want to just keep going. So just follow me. In the sermon, third Exodus, Brother Branham said, "The life of the Messiah manifested making a church ready, a bride, a woman marry a man, and disagreeing with him. It will be some kind of a fuse continually." And we understand what courtship is. Like I said last Sunday, courtship is a time where the young man and the young woman, or whoever is getting married, get to know each other. You know? So I want to touch on some pointers you look for. The prophet said, a woman marrying a man and disagreeing with him. At courtship, if you are always in disagreement at courtship, disagreeing with him, it will be some kind of fuse continually. A continuous fusing doesn't make a good home. So if at courtship, you both don't seem to agree on anything, I think it's a pointer that that's not the way for you to go. You see, but when a man and his wife, his girlfriend, his ex-spouse, when they're in perfect harmony, like one soul, one mind, because they are going to be one flesh, then when the church can get in such a harmony with God, you see, he's picking it up both on the natural and the spiritual. So when the church can get in such a harmony with God, until the manifestation of the bridegroom, which is Christ, is manifested in the bride, because they are going to be one. He said that is a great lesson. He said, all right, now remember, the spiritual mind picking this up can see the type and the antitype and pick it up for one. Just we could go hours on it, say, watch what takes place. And in the sermon, Ever Present Water, from the rock, It said, just a love affair. If you was going with a girl because you knew it was a duty. Did you get that?
Yeah.
You're going with a girl because you knew it's a duty. Or you are going with a boy because mama wants me to go with this guy. Now, to parents, we've got to be so very, very careful our involvement in this. There is a role that God has given to us as parents to play. But it's not you to choose for your children. I'm sorry if I step on your toes this morning. It's not your way, it's not your duty to choose for your children.
Amen.
You say, now, what is my duty? I'll tell you your duty. Your duty is to bring your children up the right way.
Amen.
Your duty is to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Your duty, but Abraham said, when they start growing up, and he said, keep them among Christian company.
Amen.
See, do your job. And leave the rest for God.
Amen.
If it's possible for us as parents to give the Holy Ghost to our children, I trust you we will do it.
Yes,
but it's not in our position. Our position is God gave us those precious gifts. Our position is to pray for them, is to teach them what is right. When they are grown up and they are now adults by themselves, land them over to God. It's God that does the finished work. You can then have boldness before God and say, God, I've done the best I can, or the best of my knowledge I've done. Now I commit them to your hands and watch God go on the scene.
Amen.
But the problem sometimes is that we time God. We want to time God. Why not? Why not now? He's an on-time God.
Amen.
He never comes late. At the right time, you'll be there. So listen, say, because mama wants me to go with this guy, I just can't stand him. You don't get nothing of him coming to see you. Or is the same way about the girl to the boy. Now, this boy and this girl, they are going together, they are dating, they are in courtship, not because they love one another, but because my parents want me to go with that guy. You know, he is the pastor's son, so go with him. Or his father is a minister, go with him. You see that? He said, and when he's coming to see you, you don't, not, nothing. You just, you don't appreciate him coming.
Amen.
If you are, if you have been in a position where you're dating someone that you really, 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 really love, you want to be around that person all the time.
Amen.
And if it's on the side of the girl and he knows the boy is coming, she wants to go have a shower. She wants to get ready. She wants to look good. It's in the nature of women to look good. I will keep what I was about to say. I will keep it. If God wants to come out, he will come out. I will keep it for now. You see, but listen to what he says. He said, now, you don't get nothing of him coming to see you. You know this guy is coming, and you just like, you know, when is he coming? And he comes, just do and go. Or it's the same thing about the girl to the boy, or boy to the girl. You go with her, she bores you. Remember at courtship, she bores you, and you bore him. There is no love affair. Say, but you don't care. You just don't want to clean up. He's coming. You know he's coming 4 p.m., and you're still in your pajamas at 4 p.m. You understand what I'm saying? He said, there's nothing in you. You don't want to clean up. You just don't want to go see her. Why? It's a horrible thing. He said, when he's coming to see you, man, you just wish you hurry up and go back. He said, that's the same way it is. Watch, remember, he is speaking it about spiritual and physical.
If you find yourself in that position, that is not the right relationship to be in. You still have the opportunity in courtship to let it go.
He said, now the same way it is when you, now it's coming spiritual now, when you sit in church and all you think about is, why does he preach so long? I think he gives me boosts. Why does he preach so long? What about this stuff and everything? See, why? You are not in love. Do you get that? Yeah. You are not in love. Say, but when you really hang on to every word, as the Spirit gave you warning this morning, hanging on to every word, that might be what he has been talking to you about, holding on. It's eternal life, every word. It's a joy to go to church under any circumstance. Whether it's hot, cold, indifferent, whether the people are fusing, grueling, whatever they are doing, it's still a joy to hear the word of God. Amen. So when you are really in love with that boy and you know he's coming to see you, you want to get ready, you want to go have a shower, you want to dress nice, you spend time on the mirror to make sure everything is perfect. Because the guy you are dating is coming to see you. But if it's not so, you know he's coming. You don't care. You don't even... The zeal is not there. It's a simple thing. You are not in love. And don't you marry her if you don't love her.
Amen.
Don't you marry him if you don't love him.
That's right.
Listen, in the Sermon Absolute, he said, when you got married, they had to wind back through your mind something till you hit that tie post. And it should have been love for your wife or love for your husband. Well, maybe she isn't as pretty as John's wife. Beauty is not love. If you marry because of beauty, with time, bless you, my brother, with time, beauty will fade. And when it fades, I wonder what you do then. Maybe she isn't as pretty as John's wife. Or, well, not this, that, but there's something about her that strikes you.
Amen.
Something about her that strikes you. It's not meant to strike everybody. Strike. She might not be as pretty as the other. He might not be as handsome as the other. But there has to be an absolute there that person is different. And that's where you hold on to. And if that isn't there, you better not get married. Did you get that? If that is not there, you better not get married. After you've seen that thing that makes this person different, that thing you hold on to, your tie post, your absolute, and you say, you know what, that's it, I'm done. She is the one. He is the one. On the wedding day, we play a nice song. I don't know what God was thinking about when he made you. By the time you're now married, 2 years, 5 years, that absolute better be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Church, listen to me this morning. I'm not saying there are not going to be problems. I'm going to be very real with you this morning. I'm not telling you there are not going to be problems. There will be problems along the way. But remember, you are holding on to something. There's something about this person that's just different. That thing should be getting stronger and bringing you both together. Together. But Abraham said, when the couple come together,
He said they spend so much time, they begin to look alike. They begin to look alike. They begin to think alike. Amen. You get what I'm saying? That should be your case and not apart. You know, the word of God is not quite about being apart. He said when anything draws you apart, he said it's the devil. Go check the Psalm of Oneness with God. So direct statement. He said it's the devil that keeps you apart. So as Christians, we have an obligation. Seeing that we are in a battlefield, seeing that our enemy is the devil, we have an obligation to keep that guy far from our home as much as possible. Don't give the guy room in your home. The devil is a guy, when you give him a small space, before you know what is happening, he's sitting on the couch. Before you know what's happening, his leg is on your table. And before you know what's happening, it's in control of your house. So as much as possible, keep him out. Amen. And a big responsibility lays in the hands of the husbands. A big responsibility lays in the hands of the husbands. You've got to know how to handle your wife. Today, the world today has made men not men anymore. You find men talking with their wife. Papa, your wife say one, you reply one. You know, come on. Come on. Come on. I just believe that there are some things that you don't ought to reply to as a man. When your wife tells you, why did you put this cup here? You know it's going to upset her. Why did you yourself put it there? To avoid trouble, honey, I'm sorry, take it out and take it away. That is not the time to come and be saying that I'm the man of the house, I can put it. That's not the time for that. You are breeding the devil right in your house. So I hear some issues sometimes, I just get, men talk like women, you know. Cho-cho-cho-cho. No. You need the grace of God in your life. That, bless you, brother. You are right ahead of me. Character. We are coming to it. You see, the prophet, I always refer to this. I believe it's a very good example. The prophet had an issue in his home, too. He had an issue where Mida slammed the door on him. Maybe it was a today's man. Your wife slammed the door on you? My goodness. And I paid the bills in the house. I bought this house. And you have the right to slam the door on me. Go to your garage and get your toolbox. Let her know that I also know how to remove them doors. Grip, 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 grip. You are breeding devil in your house. But watch what the prophet did. He left her alone. He wasn't standing at the door and, I hope you get my point. Listen. He said, if that absolute is not there, you better not get married. So that is a tie post. Now, in the sermon, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I was speaking today, coming down with Brother Moore. I said, take like the love, the natural love, affectionate love, called filial love. God's love is agape. But in filial love, you go out, you see Mary and Martha. You are going with Martha. And you find Mary. There's something about Mary that's different from Martha. Thought Martha is the prettiest, but yet you love Mary the best. Now, if there's a Mary or Martha here, I'm not using that for you, you know. But you find it's a girl that you love. Many people over the years have hung on to, the girl must be filled with the Holy Ghost for marriage. Wow. I think it's a good thing for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost before you get married. But it's not everyone that has the Holy Ghost that's fit for wife for you. Do you understand that? It's not everyone. You've got to love that individual. You see, you say, but you find if it's a girl that you love, there is something about her. Soon as you see her, you know you love her. You think, oh man, if I could only just get one date with that girl. Well, finally, you do. You think it will satisfy that feeling? It doesn't. Then you think if I could go with her steady, that would do it. Finally, you get to go without steady. It still doesn't. If she just let me kiss her goodnight sometime, that would do it. But finally, that happens. It doesn't. Listen. You got to be in the spirit in which the prophet is talking. At courtship, you cannot kiss. Amen. You say, why? We will come to it. Well, if she marry me, I'll know it will do it. It doesn't. Even family relations, you love her so much, feel like you could pull her all the way through and reach back and pull her back in, trying. That's a rude expression. I didn't mean it like that. What I'm trying to say, you love her, love her, love her. There's no place you can find. What is it? It's part of your soul. She's part of you. Pick those words because we'll talk about it as we go. Now, in the Simon life story, now we are coming down to character. Now, listen. Wednesday night when I came back, I thought, how am I going to go up there? If our mother got a hold of that letter, I know we all know that story, where he had to write a letter and mail it to her. If her mother got a hold of that letter, she really walked me over. So I hope she got it. I addressed it to Hope. That was her name. So I said, I'll just write it out here to Hope. And I thought maybe she might not have got a hold of it. So I know better than to stop outside and blow the horn for her to come out. Oh my. And any boy that hasn't got nerve enough to walk up to the house and knock on the door and ask for that girl, I ain't got no business being out with her anyhow. Teach your children. If they are grown up to go with a partner, the partner should be bold enough to come and knock your door. You should be bold enough to sit down with her daddy and talk. Anything at the back, hidden, it's not right. He said, so I stopped my old folder, you know, and had it all shined up. And so I went up and knocked at the door. He said, Mercy, our mother came to the door. I could hardly catch my breath. I said, how do you do, Miss? She said, how are you, William? I thought, oh, William. And she said, will you step in? I said, thank you. I stepped inside the door. I said, is Hope just about ready? And just then, here come Hope, skipping through the house, just a girl about 16. They were going on a date, though. And I will tell you where that date was. We are talking about character, right? And she said, hi, Bill. I said, hi, Hope. And she said, you about ready for church? I thought, oh my, she never got it. Good. Hope never got it either. So it will be all right because she have named it to me, so I felt pretty fair. He said, I remember I wrote it all out and I asked her she'll marry me. I didn't have nerve enough to give it to her, so I put it in the mail. Monday morning, went on to work. I had a date with her for Wednesday to church. If you are in courtship and your partner doesn't like coming to church, it should tell you something. Remember, we are talking about character. We've preached so much on married character, married character. What is this character? We are trying to pinpoint some now. I am not saying all your dates should be church. Put on your spiritual and maturity now. But if you are courting someone and he finds excuses not to be in church, it should tell you something. Excuse might be as good as I've got to walk. Sorry if I hurt your feelings this morning, but the prophet taught us that God first. Amen. A man that will not put God first before you marry him, you think he will change when you marry him? I had a date with her from Wednesday night to go to church. I think I passed my point across here. Listen. Now, he said, and I guess you wonder how I ever got married. Still in the same sermon, life story. I'm talking about character that you look out for during courtship. Courtship is not just a time to just talk nonsense. Mm-mm. There's something. You are trying to know this man. This man is trying to know, because after that, you spend the rest of your life together. So you must know what you are going into. And I guess you wonder how I ever got married. But I remember the first date I ever had after I got to be about 17, 18 years old. Not 13 here, remember? 17, 18 years old. As all boys, you know, you meet that first sweetheart, you know, and she got eyes like a dove, teeth like pearls, neck like a swan, and you know how it is. Prettiest thing you ever seen in your life. And I met one. So I thought, she was so pretty, my. And so the boy that lived pretty close to me, he said, tell you what, you had a girlfriend too. And he said, well, let's get them together. They was in school, you know, said, we get them together and I'll get that old Ford. And we just jack the back end of it or put some little gasoline and crank it. You remember how you used to do that? So we got enough to buy 2 gallons of gas. And we could ride a long time on that. So we got our girlfriends and was going to take them a riding. And I never will forget. Watch. I never will forget. That night we went out and I stopped at a little place to get some sandwiches and some Coke. And so I remember when I got in and got the sandwiches, we came out, we drank the Coke, ate the sandwiches. I was taking the bottles back. And that was just when the girls first began to smart Alex, start smoking and things. And when I got back, to my surprise, my little queen was sitting there smoking a cigarette. If you follow the word of God the way it's being put out for us, the word of God will lead you to point us, that this person, You see the kind of description he gave his queen? Nice, wonderful description that you really don't want to lose. But when he came back, he saw her smoking a cigarette. What did that tell him? They have 2 different lifestyles. And many mistakes that people make sometimes, they say, I'll change him. Be careful. I'll bring him to church. Be careful. You bring him to church, it just takes 2 or 3 services for him to understand, he or she to understand how we talk, how we dress, and he can pretend that until he gets you locked up. And when he gets you locked up, the real story comes out. the real person comes out, and then you cannot pull the vehicle on reverse anymore. Teach your children. In the sermon, Watchman, Word of the Night. I know they are stinging. I know, but it's the truth. Watchman, Word of the Night. They say, oh, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he good? Or a robot says, he's a good God. He really is. He's a good God. Then he's a God of wrath. He's a God of judgment. I'm so glad that a fountain opened in the house of God tonight for a cleanliness. All the unclean can be clean. Aren't you glad of that? He said, I remember one time when I was a young boy, there was a minister's sister I had a date with. When you are dating or you're in courtship, one of the pointers you look for is where your date takes you to. Where he takes you, where does he get his form? Where does he or she like to go? Where does he or she get his reviver? After the day's work, everybody is tired. You need a place to cool off. Where does he cool off or where does she cool off? I remember one time when I was a young boy, I was a minister's sister. I had a date with her. And she said, where will we go tonight, Bill? I said, well, let's just go out and ride around somewhere. She said, let's go to a movie. I said, I don't go to movies. He said, well, there's a dance down at the old fellows hall. I said, I don't go to dances. He said, now, you said you don't smoke, you didn't drink, you don't dance, you don't go to movies. He said, what do you do? What do you like to get for a pastime? The minister's sister was surprised. What kind of a guy is this? He doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, doesn't go to movies, doesn't dance. Where do you catch fun? What do you do for fun? He said, oh, I said, I like to fish and hunt. I like to fish and hunt and things like that. But that did not interest her. And she said, where do you get any joy? Oh, I said, the joy of the Lord is my joy. And a few nights after that, I was in a tent meeting, started, and the girl was there. And I made an altar call, and souls swam up around that altar. I seen her sitting back there crying. I said, come here, Helen. Her name is Helen. I said, come here, Helen. And she came up to where I was. I said, you want to know what joy I have? This is worth more to me than all the movies and all the dances. I hope we are getting something. Amen. I hope we are getting something. Amen. Teach your children. Amen. I said, come here, Helen. And she came to where I was. I said, you want to know what joy I have? This is worth more to me than all the movies and all the dances. I said, it's the joy of the Lord. It's the peace that passeth all understanding. I know that someday I will meet these people in glory. They will be all saved and be over there, and that's the joy I have. She took a hold of my hand. He said, Bill, let me have that joy too. I said, take your place right here. No matter what else was said, stand right here. And there was bracelets on her hand, rings and things. Raise her hand in the air and begin screaming and shouting and praising God. God saved her and sanctified her that night. Amen. You see, a soul led to Christ because of a son of God that took his stand. A son of God that did not allow peer pressure push him to do what was not right. Many times we fall to peer pressure. Because these are what my colleagues are doing. I've got to do it. Church, we are different. Amen. We are different people. We don't have to do what the world is doing. What the world is doing, they fall in trouble. But if we do what God wants us to do, we always come upright.
Amen.
Someone's life story. What Abraham said. Later on, I found a girl when I was about 22 years old. She was a darling. She was a girl that went to church. German Lutheran. Her name was Hope. And she was a nice girl. She didn't smoke or drink or didn't dance or anything. A nice girl. I went with her for a little while, and then about 22, I had made enough money till I bought me an old Ford. We go out on dates together. And so that time, there was no Lutheran church close. They moved from Howard Park up there. But you could see what he was trying to say there, that the interest of the girl was after God, not the ones that are forced. The cue here is not just a church girl. No. The cue here is someone that has had an experience with God, not the one that's been forced to come to church by mommy and dad, but the one that is something that God has done for them. Last one before we pray. Choosing of a bride. That's always stuck with me of how that was. One choose a beautiful girl, the other choose character. Now, that's the only way you can choose. First, look for character. And then if you love her, fine. Notice, God's first Adam didn't have any choice for his wife. He didn't get a choice. God just made him one. And he didn't get to choose her. So we find that she led him astray from God's word. He didn't get to pray over the matter. Young brothers, are you listening? You've got to pray over the matter. But Adam didn't have the opportunity. He didn't get to pray over the matter. He's not like you or I. He didn't get a choice. And again, by doing that, she led him from his rightly positioned as being a son of God. And she did it by showing him a more modern way of living. Something that they really shouldn't have done. But the character of her showed that she was wrong. Her motives and objectives were simply wrong, and persuaded him by her reasoning that the modern new life she found, which was contrary to God's word, was a better way of life. That's why the prophet said that when you know that this girl or this boy, it's not good for me, and you go along anyway and marry her, he said, it's your fault. Did you get that?
Amen.
How do you know if this person is good for me? Follow God's word.
Amen.
Follow what God has given to you. When you follow, if there is a question in your heart, don't do it. Young brothers, we need to pray and pray through. The issue of marriage can destroy your life. It can ruin you. That is why you have to pray and let God lead. Don't go by what you see. You know the animal that goes by what he sees? It's a monkey. A monkey likes shiny, shiny things. Not everything that shines is gold. Like I used to say, there are some shiny demons. Shiny demons. And it goes on both sides. There are some demons on suits. Look cool on Sunday morning. But when that suit comes off, some of them are not patient for the suit to come off. Some are not patient for the soul to come. When that Adamic nature kicks in, you will be sup. Let's rise up. I've been somewhere before and I see gentlemen on suits come out on the road and throw blows. No respect for suits.
So if it suits you are looking for, be careful. Shall we bow our heads? Lord Jesus, a few words that I've gone for this morning. I pray, Lord, may they have a place in our hearts to help us as we go in this pilgrim journey. The remaining part of the service is in your hands. May you take preeminence. What has been said may not fly across our heads. May you help us to take them as individuals, as family, as a church, as parents. Help our children, Heavenly Father. Our heart desire is that that family chain will never be broken. Grant it unto us, O God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.